Our presentation today is entitled The Environment According to Essays by Wendell Berry, and our presenter is one of our own members, Glenna Ottenbright-Bourne. Glenna is a part-time physical therapist and a full-time mom and a wannabe homesteader. In her spare time, she enjoys nothing. Glenn is a mom. Okay? She has no spare time. But when she is ignoring laundry and hiding from the vacuum cleaner, she indulges in reading, running, having coffee with other moms, and changing the world one Facebook post at a time. She's a member of the Goldenrod Land Co-op, a group of people attempting to build an intentional community that works, lives, and thrives together. She is happiest in the presence of good food, good friends, and good conversation. Glenna, the mic is yours.
Thank you.
Oh, you got your own mic.
I got my own. Chris just told me I make a good Madonna. Thank you, Chris. Well, I boosted myself up thinking the pop star. Thank you guys for coming. I imagine giving this talk to an empty room. But I'm so glad you see value in Wendell Berry's wisdom. So, in November 2010, our family drove to Calgary one snowy weekend for Weebo's convocation with his master's in education. It's never easy to pass time in the van for that long of a drive, especially with three small kids who were at that time 6, 4, and 1. So we took the path of least resistance, which was to let the kids watch DVD movies the whole way. Weebo and I sometimes disagree about this practice because he's the primary driver and he likes listening to his own music and his own thing. But I assured him I'd keep him enthralled as I just received a book from my friend Laura that I'd read aloud for both of us. And the title of the book was Depletion and Abundance. And this book's already been a presentation that Laura and Jordan, her husband, have talked about here. This book was really influential for me, not only because of the author's unique and inspiring view on how to find abundance for a family in this time of uncertainty, but for her references to writers and thinkers throughout the book. And this is where Wendell Berry comes in. The first quote by him in Depletion and Abundance is, I imagine, probably the first time I'd heard his voice. And it reads, the most alarming sign of the state of our society now is that our leaders have the courage to sacrifice the lives of young people in war, but have not the courage to tell us that we must be less greedy and less wasteful. And I just was hooked. I just thought, this guy is so smart. That's, you know, I think a lot of people could probably agree with that statement. So as I read this book and then others by Sharon Astick, I came across quote after quote by Wendell Berry. And I'd never heard of him, so I thought, I don't know where this guy came from. Maybe he's like some, you know, turn-of-the-century prophet lost in obscurity, only known to those as wise as Sharon Astick. So imagine my surprise one Sunday when I came to the Unitarian Center, and reading from our very own hymnal was a reading by Wendell Berry. And if you want, you can join me, but I'm just going to read 483, which is one of our readings. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time I rest in the grace of the world and am free. So I was hooked. I really like this guy. So I did some investigation. Berry was born in 1934. He was the first of four children born to a lawyer and tobacco farmer in Henry County, Kentucky. The families of both his parents have farmed in Henry County for at least five generations. This, no doubt, has made Berry a believer in the strength of claiming place and being content on your own piece of the earth. A quote here. And in some of the people of the town and community surrounding it, one of the characteristic diseases of the 20th century was making its way. The suspicion that they would be greatly improved if they were somewhere else. just feels like a lot of people feel that way. His mother, Virginia, read to him from the time he was 3 or 4 weeks old, thus introducing him to books and poetry. And as a boy, he enjoyed reading, but young Wendell was an indifferent student. He didn't apply himself to his studies, and he was more interested in outdoor activities, such as hunting and trapping and fishing. In response to the boy's lack of discipline, his father sent Wendell to a military secondary school. He earned a BA and MA in English at the University of Kentucky and went on to attend Stanford University's creative writing program. Wendell Berry published his first novel, Nathan Coulter, in 1960. Wendell Berry taught English and creative writing at New York University and the University of Kentucky. He's written at least 25 books of poems, 16 volumes of essays, and 11 novels and short story collections. His writing is grounded in the notion that one's work ought to be rooted in and be responsive to one's place. Here's a quote, "And the world cannot be discovered by a journey of miles, no matter how long, but only by a spiritual journey, a journey of 1 inch, very arduous and humbling and joyful, by which we arrive at the very ground at our own feet and learn to be at home." In 1965, Berry moved to a farm he'd purchased, Lane's Landing, and began growing corn and small grains on what eventually became a 125-acre homestead. Lane's Landing is in Henry County, Kentucky, near his parents' birthplaces. Berry's farmed, resided, and written at Lane's Landing down to the present day. He's written about his early experiences on the land and about his decision to return to it. Here's a couple quotes. "The earth, which we all have in common, is our deepest bond, and our behavior toward it cannot help but be an earnest of our consideration for each other and for our descendants. To corrupt or destroy the natural environment is an act of violence, not only against the earth, but also against those who are dependent on it, including ourselves. To waste the soil is to cause hunger, as direct an aggression as an armed attack. It is an act of violence against the future of the human race." Another, "A man's life is always dealing with permanence. That the most dangerous kind of irresponsibility is to think of your doings as temporary. That anyhow, in what I've tried to keep before myself, what you do on earth, the earth makes permanent." Makes all those tar sands issues come to life. Wendell Berry has a long history of activism, which started around February 1968 when he delivered a statement against war in Vietnam during the Kentucky Conference on War and the draft at the University of Kentucky in Lexington. An excerpt of his speech there follows. "We seek to preserve peace by fighting a war, or to advance freedom by subsidizing dictatorships, or to win the hearts and minds of the people by poisoning their crops and burning their villages and confining them in concentration camps. We seek to uphold truth of our cause with lies, or to answer conscientious dissent with threats and slurs and intimidations. I have come to the realization that I can no longer imagine a war that I would believe to be either useful or necessary. I would be against any war." Through the years, Wendell Berry was active in speaking out for the environment. Here's a few quotes of my favorites on those. "Whether we and our politicians know it or not, nature is party to all our deals and decisions, and she has more votes, a longer memory, and a sterner sense of justice than we do." Another, "There are no unsacred places. There are only sacred places and desecrated places." He took part in a campaign to save a local forest gorge in Kentucky. He took part in civil disobedience against construction of a nuclear plant, nonviolently blocking the gates of a coal-fired power plant. And in February 2011, at the age of 77, Wendell Berry spent the weekend locked in a Kentucky governor's office, demanding an end to mountaintop removal coal mining. I don't think he was alone. I think there's a group of them. But I still found that was pretty, like a 77-year-old hanging out for a weekend of protest. I was pretty impressed. He has a quote about protest I really like. "Much protest is naive. It expects quick, visible improvement and gives up when such improvement does not come. Protesters who hold out longer have perhaps understood that success is not the proper goal. If protest depended on success, there would be little protest of any durability or significance. History simply affords too little evidence that anyone's individual protest is of any use. Protest that endures, I think, is moved by a hope far more modest than that of public success, namely, the hope of preserving qualities in one's own heart and spirit that would be destroyed by acquiescence. Wendell Berry has many causes, but the most dear to his heart seems to be that of the farmer and the simple life. According to him, that life would include sustainable agriculture, appropriate technologies for healthy rural communities, connection to place, the pleasures of good food, the miracle of life, frugality, reverence, and the interconnectedness of life. Sound familiar? Some quotes here. My wish simply is to live my life as fully as I can. In both our work and our leisure, I think we should be so employed. And in our time, this means that we must save ourselves from the products that we are asked to buy in order, ultimately, to replace ourselves. Odd as I am sure it will appear to some, I can think of no better form of personal involvement in the cure of the environment than that of gardening. A person who is growing a garden, if he is growing it organically, is improving a piece of the world. He is producing something to eat, which makes him somewhat independent of the grocery business, but he is also enlarging for himself the meaning of food and the pleasure of eating. The threats Berry finds to this good, simple life include industrial farming and the industrialization of life, greed, violence against others and against the natural world. Another author, Rod Dreher, writes that Berry's unshakable devotion to land, localism, and to the dignity of traditional life makes him both a great American and, to the disgrace of our age, a prophet without honor in his native land. I guess that's where not knowing about him comes in, because I'd really never heard of him. That one American farmer can now feed himself and 56 other people may be, within the narrow view of the specialist, a triumph of technology. By no stretch of reason can it be considered a triumph of agriculture or of culture. It has been made possible by the substitution of energy for knowledge, of methodology for care, of technology for morality. In 2011, the Berry Center at Newcastle, Kentucky, was established for the purposes of bringing focus, knowledge, and cohesiveness to the work of changing our ruinous industrial agricultural system into a system and culture that uses nature as the standard, accepts no permanent damage to the ecosphere, and takes into consideration human health in local communities. Some quotes here. We have lived our lives by the assumption that what was good for us would be good for the world. We have been wrong. We must change our lives so that it is possible to live by the contrary assumption. What is good for the world will be good for us. And that requires that we make the effort to know the world and learn what is good for it. Another short and quite, I've seen this on Facebook pictures that quite made me chuckle. Do unto those downstream as you would have those upstream do unto you. On a personal level, I've found that Wendell Berry has kind of like eked out some of my deepest, darkest secrets. The hoarder in me almost spit my coffee across the table when I read this. Don't own so much clutter that you'll be relieved to see your house catch fire. In my work especially, I see people who come from really desperate circumstances, and I often think about how it's caused by their lack of community. So I could really nod in agreement when I read Berry's quote here. People use drugs, legal and illegal, because their lives are intolerable or painful or dull. They hate their work and find no rest in their leisure. They are estranged from their families and their neighbors. It should tell us something that in healthy societies, drug use is celebrative, convivial, and occasional, whereas among us it is lonely, shameful, and addictive. We need drugs, apparently, because we have lost each other. And each day that I'm at work at the hospital and heading down to the department to eat my homemade lunch, I can fully understand the irony of what Wendell Berry expresses here. People are fed by the food industry, which pays no attention to health, and are treated by the health industry, which pays no attention to food. And I think anyone who's spent any amount of time in the hospital receiving meals can attest to that. Sometimes I feel like the culture I'm raising my children in and the way I'm trying to raise them in my home are very different. There's a big contrast. And the whole world seems to be telling us to buy more in order to be more. Hence my wholehearted agreement when I read this by Barry. The promoters of the global economy see nothing odd or difficult about unlimited economic growth or unlimited consumption in a limited world. And when I hear one or more right-wing politicians wax poetic about the beauty of capitalism and its celebration of the individual's right to wealth and not having any responsibility to the poor, I remember this quote by Barry. Rats and roaches live by competition under the laws of supply and demand. It is the privilege of human beings to live under the laws of justice and mercy. So I also know that this presentation was to focus on the environment, environmental aspect of Wendell Berry's beliefs, and that certainly is what drew me to his work. But in my research, I found that he has a lot of spiritual beliefs that resonate with me and possibly Unitarian philosophy, and seeing as this is a church service. Regarding religion, Berry describes himself as a person who takes the gospel seriously. So he's, hair and things. There goes my Madonna moment. He's criticized religious organizations for failing to challenge cultural complacency about environmental degradation and has shown a willingness to criticize what he perceives as the arrogance of some Christians. So here's some following quotes I really like. Especially among Christians in possessions of wealth and power, the idea of reading the Gospels and keeping Jesus' commandments as stated therein has been replaced by a curious process of logic. According to this process, people first declare themselves to be followers of Christ, and then they assume that whatever they say or do merits the adjective Christian. Another, the Christian gospel is a summons to peace, calling for justice beyond anger, mercy beyond justice, and forgiveness beyond mercy, and love beyond forgiveness. This one comes from one of his fiction books. As I've read the Gospels over the years, the belief has grown in me that Christ did not come to found an organized religion, but came instead to found an unorganized one. He seems to have come to carry religion out of the temples into the fields and sheep pastures, onto the roadsides and the banks of the rivers, into the houses of sinners and publicans, into the town and the wilderness, toward the membership of all that is here. Well, you can read and see what you think. There is a blunt but beautiful clarity to the thoughts that Wendell Berry expresses. He shows humor, which I love. He conveys anger, which I share. And he also has a reverence for the earth and our natural world, which strikes a chord with myself and many others. Bill McGibbon, an American environmentalist, referred to Wendell Berry as a prophet of responsibility. I thought that was a perfect summation of this man with such clear insight to our current and common dilemma. Now, if we could only hear him, I mean in terms of all of us, if everyone who's kind of making those decisions on higher levels could actually listen and hear, that'd be my wish. But to end off, I'd like to just share one of my favorite quotes of all of Wendell Berry's, which is, "The care of the earth is our most ancient and most worthy and, after all, our most pleasing responsibility. To cherish what remains of it and to foster its renewal is our only hope." Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Welcome.
That was quite a presentation. Sounds like he could be a Unitarian, really.
Christian Unitarian, yes, but sure. I think he would definitely fit in here.
Yeah. You have time for a question or
I
comment?
I think so.
Or
I think we have, well, whatever.
We'll just have a few minutes left. Anyone would like to make a comment or ask a question?
I know time is an issue here, so this is quick. I wanted to say thank you so much for speaking your heart in this way, which I think resonates certainly with mine and many others. And we are always needing encouragement and a boost in continuing to try to cherish and foster a healthy earth. But I can always tell when I'm really happy to be a part of this congregation because I made notes. And I have about five of your quotations here. And I'm hoping this is going to be on a podcast or whatever, so that we can, I want to collect some of the ones I didn't get time to write down.
I'd be happy to send you, I have it on. I'd be happy to send it to you too.
Yeah, it will be on the podcast.
You know, it's pretty sad, but in and around Lumsden, it's impossible to grow organically because of the nature of the water that you use to irrigate. And our daughter is thinking of taking over the farm. And so far, it seems as though her idea is to use groundwater and to use drip irrigation so that she can grow organically. I guess we have a tremendous supply of underground water out there, so hopefully that'll work out.
I'm pretty sure Wendell would be happy about that.
Okay, we'll make this the last one.
Speaking of groundwater, just one thing that's really, really bothering me is now the oil industry wants to run, maybe some of you know, a pipeline right through Regina, through Harbor Landing, right across our aquifer. And so, you know the story about spills. So we need people to take action.